Now I would like to open our annual meeting. A couple of footnotes before we start. One is that we like to do this in the context of a Eucharist as part of our way of being together and celebrating the presence of Christ. So that's why we do it this way, and the service order is a little odd today. The other thing I would like to point out, if you haven't already noticed, is that Dennis and I choose to wear red on the day we have annual meeting here because we would like to think that the Holy Spirit is being invoked in everything that we do. So, we will begin with our annual meeting. We have a quorum. I believe the quorum we needed in our... It's a low expectation. is 24.8.
Count.
So... I see several people that could qualify as the 0.8, myself. So, we do have a quorum. My way of doing this in the years since I've been here is to do something sort of a state of the church talk as my sermon. So, I will talk to you now about some things that are happening in the church and try to put them in a context. Last night, I finished reading a novel, a book, called The Dutch House. And in the book, the house itself is almost a character. It's almost one of the people in the book. And there's a section in there where a brother and sister are talking about their past in this house. And then the brother says, "Do you think it's ever possible to see the past as it actually was?" And she says, I think I do. And he says, "But we overlay the present onto the past. We look back through the lens of what we know now, so we're not seeing it as the people we were. We're seeing it as the people we are." I was thinking about that as I was preparing this week, and thinking that this building is sort of the frame where our past has taken shape and where we look back on it and see how it has changed us. And I'd like to think it has brought us together in this framework. But what is most important is not the building, it's what happens here. And I don't just mean worship services. I also mean the getting to know one another, the support for one another, the tenderness, the sense of community, the way that we help one another. We are very... I never know, even as a priest, what word to use. I'll give you several options. We're very lucky, blessed, fortunate... I don't know what to call it. Thanks be to God, this is a generous parish in every way. Not just writing checks, but forgiving, showing up when a family needs help, showing up when I need help, and just being here for one another, very often helping in a case where you don't even really know the people that are being helped. There is a generosity in this framework, this community, this building, that is not present in all communities. And let's be thankful for what we have. I want to mention something, a couple of things. One, we have paid off our debt. applaud for yourselves and for your vestry for having the wisdom to aim us that way, and to your generosity for doing that. So, the debt is paid off. Now what? And I don't just mean in terms of finances, but partly there. We have greatly increased the outreach that we do, ways of helping people. I think in the annual report, which you will get, later, there is a list, am I right, of the wonderful organizations that we've helped. And I want you to put a little asterisk underneath that listing and add another big item, which is the way Dennis and I have been able to help people individually because the church has been generous in our discretionary funds. Those are things that you can tell by the name of it. They're at our discretion. People within the community here or outside it who come in and need help, like in the moment, not a program that we can vote on and decide on later, but a person who just lost their job or something that is in the moment. So you are all very generous also in giving to that, and we thank you for that. Dennis and I have been able to do things for people. It's basically anonymous, but usually when we hand a check over, the person thanks us, and I just have to say it's not me. It's the people of this church. Now, in the coming years, there are some places that we'd like to go, some places that I would like for us to go. Some of them are physical changes to our facility. Some are, I would call them the ultimate in-reach. I want us to emphasize in 2020 our developing our spiritual lives more deeply. I want us to have more learning opportunities. I want us to have different types of worship activities. I started with Epiphany. I want us to have services on the major feast days of the year. Included in that will be Christmas Day. Mark your calendar, because I know you won't have anything else going on. but it is a major feast day in the church. And I, like many, many clergy, have always said, nobody's going to come, which may be true, but that doesn't change it from being a feast day. So I'll be here. If you want to come in your jammies, come. If you don't want to come or you've got family, that is a way of worshiping God, being with the people you love. That's fine. But we're going to do it this year. We're going to do it this year. I've changed our evening Eucharist to a noonday Eucharist. We'll see how that works. But I want us to be together more in worship, in prayer, and in study. And I will offer some things toward that end. Now, I mentioned that we are looking at some possible changes in the physical plant. You may notice that some of the things that have been bothering us in terms of leaks and things are being repaired. We think this time repaired. And then fixed in terms of cosmetics. So those things are being done. We put regularly money into a fund for when something big happens. We live in Mississippi, so our greatest fear as church leaders is that the air conditioning would go out. And it's an old facility in that sense. So we're looking at that. There are two things that I'd like to see us head towards. To be honest, our push this year, I wonder if our push to pay off the debt and to renovate the kitchen several years ago, I worry, you know I'm a worrier, I worry that I've given you kind of a financial fatigue, and I appreciate that. and you have stepped up. That is unbelievable to me, how generous you've been in getting these things done. There are some things we need to work on. The thing we need most to work on soon is the playground. It is dangerous. Is that a safe? It's just not good. I talked with Jim this morning, and he said what we have out there needs to be pulled down, but the weather has been so bad we can't get vehicles up in there to do this. It needs to come down and be replaced. Now, the degree that amount that we spend, that's still very much in flux. That needs to be done. We talk constantly among ourselves. We need to get more young families here. Well, then we shouldn't have a dangerous playground. I don't honestly think somebody sees a really good one and says, that's where I'll go to church. But it is a factor in whether they continue to go to church here. So we will need to work on that. Please be thinking about that. And when we get ready to do some things, we may need your physical help. But just keep your minds open on that as we go forward. The vestry decides on how money is spent. So that will be their decision. But something needs to be done. On another note, something that, I won't use the word needs because I don't think that's true, but would be a wonderful addition, is, we've talked about it for years, a pavilion. An outdoor, covered, but open-air pavilion. I have no idea what this costs. I'm just putting it out there for now. What we're thinking of, and a lot of us have bounced these ideas around, is putting something right out there. If we did it, it would match the architecture of the rest of the facility. It would be open on the sides. The main factor that prompted this discussion all along, for many years, is our barbecue. I don't think it's worth doing just for the barbecue, but wouldn't it be nice the Sunday morning of the barbecue not to have to look at the hourly forecast every day, every 5 minutes, to see are we going to get everything cooked? We'd have a covered area. So that kind of prompted it, but think about the other things we could do. Vacation Bible School could be out there. Kids activities could be out there. Weddings could be out there.
Easter morning
could be out there. Lots of possibilities. Again, I have no idea what this will cost. I have no idea of what the playground will cost. But I'd like to see us get our heads up, start thinking about what's next in terms of the facility here. I just have one or two other little things. It's my belief, what I would call the malaise of our time is loneliness. I think there are millions of people, thousands probably in our neighborhood, who have no sense of connection to other people, maybe to their families, but to no bigger group, no bigger community than a family. Now, I want you to think, this afternoon, we're having a memorial Eucharist for Arnold Bush, who was the first priest here. I've told you a couple of times, this place wouldn't be here, I don't believe, if he hadn't listened to God about what to do. We will celebrate his life at 2 o'clock. And our community, present, and everyone that's been here since, is thinking today about what he has done and about celebrating his life. Many of you have worked to help support the family. They've been through a very difficult illness with him. This is the way we build community. This is the way we keep loneliness at bay by supporting each other, even people we don't know very well. Next week, we have the funeral of a small child. I don't have children, and I cannot imagine what this family is going through. But dozens of you have come to me and said, "Tell me something I can do." What if someone is facing that kind of loss and doesn't have a church family? That sense of isolation and loneliness, that's ours to start to address. And I'd like for us to get to know each other better through these worship and learning and service activities, outreach, all those things. I want us to know one another better, to support one another as we always have. I would like for us to work very intentionally on becoming kinder persons, open to hearing other opinions, open to hanging out with people who don't agree with us, forgiving people. We have to get strong in our individual spiritual lives in order to support people when they go through the things that our dear ones have gone through this week. So please, help me think of ways that we can support one another, continue outreach, continue with discretionary funds, learn and worship and celebrate together. That's what I ask you. And I will say, as your priest, I will also, I hope, continue to take care of myself physically and emotionally and spiritually. So I would ask your support in that. It doesn't always involve golf, but it might. But just thank you all for kind of checking on me this past week. It's been a rough one. But let's each of us work on making ourselves strong so that we can be strong enough to help the people who will need us and the people who are out there who have no one else to rely on. So I ask you to go back, to look at what we have been through as a church. We won't be able, like the book says, we won't be able to see it from the view of the people we were when we went through a lot of trouble here or a lot of grief. We won't be able to see it through that lens. We see it through this present lens, and we let it make us stronger so that we can be a family for each other. This is the house that is the character, a character in this story of our family. And I ask that you continue to support us in every way, pray for us, and help us to move forward. Amen.